Psalm 39. Open your Bibles back there this morning. We looked at this passage last week and talked about the year-end review and how David here in this psalm, he talks about, Lord, remind me how brief my time is, that my life is no wider than a hand. He just kind of has a time of reflection, and he finishes up by saying that my life is just a moment, it's just a breath, and we're just shadows passing by, heaping up stuff, heaping up wealth, and we don't know who will spend it. And I think as we look at that and consider what David has written, it's a great passage to end the year on. As David is saying, that my life is short, and one more year of it's gone. My life is brief, and we talked about four questions that I think this thought of a brief life, of a numbered amount of days, brings us to in reflection, to look back at our life and to see where we are, and you know, what have I been committed to? What have been my priorities, and why? Am I any closer to God? Is anyone else closer to God? Because I'll be honest with you, if you got closer to God and haven't got anybody with you, then your year wasn't what it ought to be. And ultimately, a question that we probably ought to ask ourselves every day is, am I ready to stand before God? Those are our four questions that I feel like this passage spurs us in reviewing the previous year. So once we've decided where we've been and how we got in the mess we're in, I think the next question that has to be answered, needs to be dealt with, is, okay, where are we going from here? Where are we going? Based on where I am, once I've established where I am and how I got here, then I need to ask myself a few more questions. And I think, again, in light of this passage, that my days are numbered, but my life is like a shadow passing by, that it's no wider than a hand, I need to get serious about not only reviewing where I've been, but I need to be very, very serious and very thoughtful about where I'm going. See, this is what I think all of us recognize this morning, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we talk about it very much or not. We all recognize that where David says, my time on earth, my days are numbered, this much you know, one of those days is gone. Yesterday is gone. Well, that day you're not getting back, and this one is slipping by fairly quickly. And so one of the things that I think we could all agree on this morning, we may not agree on a lot of things in the Word of God. We may disagree about some things. We may not see eye to eye. We may disagree about the rapture. We may disagree about virgin birth. We may disagree about miracles. We may disagree about creation, evolution. We may disagree about pretty much everything in the Word of God. And, you know, there's probably somebody out there that's the case. But here's one thing that every one of us will agree on. Our days are numbered. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're a Muslim, a Christian, whatever. You know your days are numbered. Now, I hope this morning that I'm speaking to a group of people who look at that from a spiritual point of view and say, because my days are numbered, then I need to be thinking about what I'm doing with those days, what I'm going to accomplish in those days. And I think that's the mindset that David has when he writes this psalm. Where have I been? What have I been up to? Now, what's ahead? Where am I going? And so, just to kind of put it in perspective about days being numbered, here we are, well, basically 1 week of your new year is toast. It's pretty much gone already. I saw somebody already say, you know, it's this many days to Christmas. You know, and so it's already moving by. And so what are some questions that this passage kind of leads us to think about as we consider the year ahead, the life ahead. Some of us, well, this morning may not have a whole year. You know, know what the future actually holds for us. But David says, my days are numbered. My life is just passing by. At best, it's just a breath, and we're passing through this life. So if we believe that, and every one of us, as painful as it is to admit, I think that's one of the reasons we hate funerals, and is because it reminds us that our life is temporary. That as we think about this, we stop up and say, you know what? Life is temporary. I need to be figuring out my plan. I need to be figuring out where I'm going, what I'm doing with this year that God has given me. And so as I think about this passage, four questions last week to God, as in review, as we look at it, what are my priorities? Am I closer to God? Is anyone else closer to God because of me? And am I ready to stand before God? And those can be used every day, to be honest. But four questions that I want to give you this morning to kind of guide you in thinking forward, in thinking about you. If our days are numbered, and the first one I understand as I struggled with these and I read this and I prayed about this passage, the first one I understand is going to be one that typically you're not going to hear from most pulpits. You're not going to hear this mindset. You're not going to hear this thought process, but I think it is way past being discussed. I think it is way more than biblical. When we ask ourselves this question going into 2013, as we consider the first question I want you to deal with, first question I want you to take home and think about for this year, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? Now, I realize, again, that's just not something typically we give a lot of thought to. What's God's will for your life? And live for others and all those kind of things. And those are great things to kind of consider. Those are great things to encourage you to live by the will of God, to live for others. But I want to give you permission, I believe, based on the word of God, to say, what do I want to do with my life? You know, some of you sitting here this morning have honestly never dealt with that question. You have dealt with what does my parents want, what does my spouse want, what do my children want, what will make everybody else happy, what will make my job happy, what will make my family happy, what will make my neighbors happy. And some of you this morning have never honestly dealt with this question, what would make me happy? See, I knew y'all hadn't heard that. Y'all looking at me, just, well, my kids are going to write it like a deer, like a cat, and you go. You just don't, you know, you're going, that's sacrilegious. You can't talk about what makes me happy. I gotta be thinking about what can I do to make Tommy happy. Well, I don't know, but as I look at the Word of God, let's just start off with some common sense. Well, let's just start off with just common sense, just what we know about God. We know about what God has done for us. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe God wants you to be happy or miserable? Happy. You believe that? So I'm not wrong in saying one of the questions we ought to ask is, what do I want to do? I don't think there's anything wrong with asking that question. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, what would make me happy? You know, and listen, I want to go closer to Lord. It may be a very spiritual answer. Some of you may, get real spiritual and bump your fingers together and say, I would like to memorize the book of Galatians. That would make me happy. Great. I'm tickled for you. Go for it. Well, let's just quote it one day. Some of you may be a whole lot more worldly, a whole lot more honest would be the answer. And say, you know what? I'd like to go to Hawaii for a couple of weeks. Lord, make me happy. I'd like a new Corvette. Some of you, you're just plumb secular. You know, you got a new Corvette already. Remember that long, but you got one. I saw it at Christmas. Man, I'm going to tell you what, that Sunday school class takes care of their teacher. Got him a new Corvette. Is it that long? There's hot wheels down the sides. Listen, I don't think there's anything in this world where I'm saying, what would make me happy? A new job. A different job, a promotion. I don't think there's anything wrong with it because God says in His Word, He says, I want you to have life and life more abundant. He says, I want you to have peace. And I want to be honest with you, it's hard to have abundant life when you're miserable. It's hard to have abundant life when peace when you're working for a knucklehead. So I don't think there's anything in this world wrong with us saying, you know what, here's some things I would like in my life. I believe God intends for us. Look back at the Garden of Eden. What did God say to Adam in the garden? He said, what? I've put you here to enjoy everything in this garden. All but the one tree. Let me get that right. He said, Lord, I look at that story. I see from the beginning, God said, you know what? I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy this world. I look around at what God has done. And God has created the zebra. There's not a funnier looking creature on the face of the earth than a zebra. Unless it's a giraffe. Well, I'm not doing it. Give me time. Unless it's a rhinoceros, or a hippopotamus, or a platypus, or Archie. You know, there's... You know, I can't have a sermon without one Archie joke. That's just a requirement. You know, they teach you that in seminary. Pick on the music director. You know. God has a sense of humor. The Bible talks about God laughing. And I think it is perfectly all right. I believe the Bible says, you know what? It's okay for you to dream. And you say, this is what would make me. Now listen, I want to be honest with you. Think about this for a moment. As parents, isn't that what typically the normal, if there is such a thing in our society, a parent wants for their child? Wants them to be happy? Most of us, most parents are there working way too hard, way too long to get stuff for the kids they think will make them happy. That's what we want. And the Bible says God is our Father. Only God wants to see me sitting around being miserable and not happy. I think God wants us. So what is that? For us to stop and think, you know, at the end of this year, what is something I would have liked to have accomplished, something I would have liked to have done, something I would, you know, maybe you can't accomplish it in a year, something I'd like to be working towards. You know, to begin to dream and say, God, this is what would make me happy. You know, I don't think there's a thing wrong with that. If it is, I tell you what, you find the scripture and bring it back to me, okay? Because I just don't think it's there. I'm not preaching health and wealth and a prosperity gospel this morning. I'm just simply saying, I believe God wants his children to be happy. But I think some folks are only happy when they're miserable. Amen. They think if I'm not miserable, I'm not doing my job or something. Yeah, I think about the story of the lady that died and showed up at the gates of heaven and looked over and there was a complaint box on the gate and said, Peter, what's that complaint box? I don't want everybody to be happy. He said, well, some people won't be happy if they can't complain. Yeah, listen, what would it take to actually make you happy for a change? What would be your ideal year? Some of you, it may be, you know, there's somebody in your family needs healing. It may be a real thing. Some of you, it literally may just be that really. I want a new car. I want a new house. You know, I want my neighbors to move away or something. Who knows? I'm happy with my house, but I want the neighbors to move. Yeah. Maybe that's your prayer. You ought not talk about the Rogers that way. Yeah. Listen, what would it take? Well, then here's a question that I think is also biblical, because the Bible says what man builds a house doesn't consider the cost. If you're going to sit down and say, what would it take? What is it I want to do? What do I want? What would make me happy? Then the second thing, what do I need? What do I need? If you'd say, I don't know, if you'd say, for example, my goal, what would really make me happy is I've just always dreamed of seeing Australia. I don't know. Bear with me. But you know what? Here's what you need to do. You need to go get a passport. You need to go get some airplane tickets. You need to start saving some money to make a hotel reservation. In other words, you need to sit around and say, what would make me happy all day long? Get moving. Get moving. We go back to those of you, you know, I get back off the Corvette crowd. I'm going to get back over to the spiritual crowd in a minute. What would make me happiest is if at the end of the year, I just knew God better. My relationship was so much deeper. See, some of you are trying to be holy this morning. Well, you know what? Here's a little clue. If that's what would make you happy, that's great. You know what you better start doing? You better start praying. You better open up that Bible that creaks and cracks and cobwebs blow out of it. You better show up at worship and church. You better get involved in serving him. If you want to know him better, just that simple. Why sit around and say, what would make me happy? You know, what would really make me happy is I need a new job. Well, fill out an application. It's just that simple. Yeah, that's how they used to say, right here, don't just sit around and pray for them again, bait a trap. Listen, what would make you happy? David says, my days are numbered. And so if these are the, hey, let me tell you this, the longer your list is, the busier you better get. Because I told you last week, the average lifespan is 25,550 days. Do the math. Do the math. Some of you are very blessed. Some of you are only already up in the 28, 29, 30,000 day range. Some of you are closing in on 25,000 a lot quicker than you think you are. I got news for you. Everybody here is closing in on 25,000 quicker than they think they are. What would make you happy? You better get busy at it. And I think God would bless that. I think God says, you know what? I want my people to be happy. I know that's so far. Some of you are looking at me this morning and say, I can't believe you said that. You said you thought God wanted you to be happy, didn't you? Let me ask you a question. Who do you think is going to accomplish more for the kingdom of God? Some miserable God up there crank? Or somebody that's happy? Who do you want to be around? Who do you want to be influenced by? Somebody that moans and groans and gripes and complains about everything, you know, every day. I think about that very first day that I had, and I used to go down to Gold Hill, and on the very first stop there, I go in, and there's a bunch of them meet down here to kiss the bus. You go in one day, they're trying to kill us. They're working us 7 days. Yeah. You go in there a week or so later, trying to starve us. They're not giving us but 3 days. Who do you want to be around? Who do you think is going to have the most impact for the kingdom of God? Somebody that's happy, somebody that's joyful, somebody with a smile, somebody that's living life to its fullest? Or somebody that looks like they've been sucking on prunes all day? I told you, I put alum in my grandpa's tobacco one time. I was hoping. Yeah, you ever seen them cartoons where they did and their heads shrunk down? I thought that might happen. I was trying it. Some of you look like you had alum in your tobacco this morning. Let me ask you. I did this at 8:30. I picked one. I'm going to pick one this morning. Stand up, Fonzie. Oh, you already up? Now stand up, Fonzie. Come on and look at him. Look at that happy face. Anybody, don't you like being around Pansy? Yeah. If you don't know the answer to that question, that's because you haven't been around her. I like to watch, I have to lean over because I can't see her over the pulpit, but I like to watch the Pansy sing up here in the choir. When they sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," she throws her head back and sings like she loves him. She got a smile on her face and a song in her heart. She's happy. You know what? I believe God likes happy. I know I do. There's people, I want to ask them how they're doing. It's not because I don't care, it's because I don't want to know. I really do care. I just don't want them to tell me. Because I don't have that much time. You walk away from some people after asking how they're feeling, you feel like you got it now. You know? I believe God means for us to be happy. But I believe He means for it to be within certain restraints. Because here's the third thing. David says, you know what? My life is numbered. My days are brief. And so what would it take to make me happy? But here's the question that kind of brings it, I think kind of confines all that. It's, what does God want me to do? That's the most important question. Well, that's the most important question. Why do you ask it first? Because you haven't answered it. When I say, what do you want? Yeah, that's like the year one of my youngest took the Sears catalog and took the red magic marker and circled everything in it. Yeah, when I say, what do you want? What would make you happy? I asked you, man. That's somebody just, Archie done used up his whole notebook up here. He just said, where's the writing? Yeah, he hadn't quit since the 8:30 service. And what would make you happy? And he's writing, really smiled, too. I mean, he's just writing. Yeah, all right, all always put in that book. I won't sneak that book when he's not looking in there. Yeah. Well, look, somebody know, I say that would make you happy. You ain't hard of it. You're living in high cut. I've got it, man. I just think I want to go here. But then you take that list and you strain it in and say, what does God want me to do? You know what happens? Then all of a sudden you have to start marking some things off the earliest list. Because on your list, you may say, you know what, let me give you an example here. That would make me happy. Oh, I'd really love that promotion at work. I'd really love to get promoted and get that raise and everything. But if you got that promotion, you'd have to work more. You'd have to travel. You'd have to work on Sundays. And over here on this side of what does God want me to do, he says, I want you to be a good husband and a good father, a good wife, a good mother. So that promotion would get in the way of you being what God wants you to be. So guess which one wins? Nothing wrong with making your list. Make you a long list. We got some poster boards. I'm going to give you a sheet of it. Make you a big list. Just get you two and get one just the same size for what does God want me to do. So you can come up with all kinds of things. Yeah, you can say, man, you can go back to that car and say, oh, Lord, I've always thought I'd love to be. I've always thought I'd love to get in one of them hot air balloons and sail around the world. You wits, but anyway. That, man, that would just be the greatest thing. I just sail around the world. Well, but God wants you to provide for your family. You're not going to be a very good provider floating around the world. So you better scratch that one off your list. See what I'm saying? It's great to make you a list of what would make me happy, but here's what I want you to understand. There will be nothing on your list of what would make me happy that would truly make you happy that God would approve of. You hear me? Because God wants you to be happy. If you have to scratch it off your list, here's what I believe. I believe God knows something you don't know. And it probably wouldn't make you happy. You ever thought, oh, if I could just get this, or if I could just have this, if I could just do this, oh, I'd be the happiest person in the world. And then it happened, and you thought, what have I got into? I love that old song, the old country song that said, thank God for unanswered prayer. Y'all remember what that song was about? Y'all carnal rascals listening to country music. Tommy told me about it. You know what it's about? I loved it. Don't nobody raise a hand. Fellas, just sit like this. Pray and meditate. Because if you even flinch when I tell this story, you're going to get elbowed. You remember what the song was about? The man said he went back and saw the girl he thought was so pretty in high school, and he just loved and wanted to be and wanted to marry. And he saw her, she turned into him. Thank God for that answered prayer. Some of you are thinking, God, I wish you had unanswered some prayers. See, but there's nothing going to be on your happy list that if it would truly make you happy, that God's going to disapprove of. But the most important question you're going to answer for this year is, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to be? What kind of person does God, what changes does God want me to make in my life? And you know what I've learned about God? God does not have a bashful streak whatsoever. I have learned painfully, like many of you, that God is more than willing and able and ready to say, Jimmy, don't do that. Unfortunately, Jimmy don't always listen. But that doesn't stop him from telling me. I've learned that sometimes the things that I think are not what I want, that when I'm obedient, are the things that make me the happiest. It's one thing, trying to start that list of what do I want. But since my days are numbered, and one day I'm going to stand before Him, I better be worried about what He wants. Because David says in this passage, he says, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to accomplish all this stuff. I'm going to run back and forth. I'm going to heap all this stuff up. And I don't even know who's going to spend it. Brings me to the final question. And this is where it really gets down to the brass tacks of things. Well, it really matters. If my days are, how many of your days are numbered? How many of you believe that if God showed up right here this morning, we could say to Him, Lord, what would be Archie's last day on earth? And He could give you the date. He could do that for you too, right? Your days are numbered. Well, then here's the question we need to ask ourselves. If we believe that, what are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? I want to get closer to God. What are you waiting on? I want to have a better prayer life. What are you waiting on? I want to be a better husband. What are you waiting on? Be a better father. What are you waiting on? Yeah, think about it. You plan out your year, you think, oh Lord, thank you for another year. I want to make this the best year of my life. What are you waiting on? I'll start tomorrow. I'm going to start tomorrow. My new prayer life, it's going to start first thing Monday morning. Monday the 14th, that is. The 21st. The 1st of February. My New Year's resolution for 2014, that's how it works, isn't it? What are you waiting on? What are we waiting on to get? Yeah, we just said here, and every one of you said, you know what, I believe my days are numbered. And I don't want to be morbid, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but the reality is, it's just like I told you about the song I heard Joe Jones singing. He stopped for a moment, he made the statement, he said, you know, I realize that I got a lot more days behind me than I got ahead of me. And looking around this room this morning, I don't be morbid, but most of us here this morning, if we were honest, we'd say the same thing. There's more behind us than there are in front of us. And here's the sad thing for the you look around, and even the youngest one in the crowd, you don't know how many's ahead of you. I just know they're numbered. And they're fleeting like the shadows. There's no as the width of my hand. And so what am I waiting on? Talking to a lady this week who has been saying for years and years she was going back to school. This week she finally signed up. I don't even know how many years she's been saying she was going back to school. I don't know how old she'll be when she gets done. But she has signed up to go back to school. I remember when I first finished the first year at Reed Hall, was that one fellow that went across the stage? It was 90, something like that. You know, I saw him. You know, when I would go up there, little rascal was blind. He'd come to school with his dog and go in the class. But he signed up. Got to go. Got to get started. Some of you this morning have been saying for years, I want to get closer to God. I want to have a better relationship with God. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better husband. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Some of you have been saying, I want to be a better witness. What are you waiting on? People come by your house and knock on the door and say, hey, I heard you know Jesus. Can you tell me about Him? Good luck with that one. What are we waiting on? Your days are numbered. Some of you sitting here this morning, you've been saying, you know what? I want to get saved. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to go to heaven when I die. What are you waiting on? Your days are numbered. They're passing by like a shadow. They're numbered. What are you waiting on? I'm asking you to bow your heads this morning. Some of you are sitting here this morning, and I'm not saying you're a bad person. You're a good person. I believe you love God. You go into heaven when you die. But are you making the most of the time that God has blessed you in? Because your days are numbered. What would make you happy? What do you need to get it? What does God want from you? When are you going to get started? You know what my prayer is? Is that for the next 359 days of this year, you're going to hear my voice saying, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on to get saved? What are you waiting on to pray? What are you waiting on to study the Word of God? What are you waiting on to be a good husband? What are you waiting on to be a good father? What are you waiting on to be a good mother? What are you waiting on to be a good employee? What are you waiting on to get an education? What are you waiting on to answer what God's calling you to do? What are you waiting on? This morning I want to invite you to come and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, January the 6th, 2013 is the day I start.